I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People. It's automatic, it's automatic, it's automatic. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a nothing podcast, because we're out of shows to watch till next year. So in its place, here's an episode of the other podcast I do that Ryan guested on. It's the Boring Conversation Anyway podcast. Heads up, there's a little bit of language, not a ton. I think there's a couple of F-bombs. Hopefully your kids aren't listening, although we're guilty of that on this show too. So anyway, enjoy that, and we'll be back hopefully next week talking to Jess in Atlanta about Dragon Con. So, and the Legion stuff, and I didn't know she was doing a Mr. Robot thing. Did you?
No.
I know about the Legion thing. I thought
didn't know she did a Mr. Robot thing.
Yeah, she hosted a Mr. Robot fan discussion or something. Or maybe she was just part of it. Maybe I misread that tweet. I don't know. We'll ask her about it. So, anyway.
I love the Hondo Inaka
thing. That was awesome. That was awesome.
So, he's like the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects him. So we got to talk about that on X-Wing Files. So that was the one thing I saw that was like, damn it, I wish I went to Dragon Con. Of course, I probably would have never seen him, but still. Anyway, go do all that at Mr. Robot Podcast, MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. We have decided we're doing a Mr. Robot rewatch. If you are listening to this podcast and you would like to join us for an episode discussing any episode of seasons past of Mr. Robot, email us or tweet us or message us in some form or fashion, because that's what we want to do. That's what we're going to spend the next like 6, 8, 9 months doing, is rewatching Mr. Robot starting from the beginning. So, and we want whoever wants to join us to do that. So email us, you know, as long as we can get the schedule worked out, that's what we're going to do. So, all right. And I guess we'll see you later.
I'm not saying bye, cause it's the beginning,
right? It's the beginning and the end.
The only true currency in this bankrupt world is what you share with someone else when you're uncool.
She said that every living creature on Earth dies alone.
Hey.
At no expense.
因为有想问你好耐嘅。
Hope is a good thing.
你未有打个电话俾我。
Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies.
我唔记得啦。
The more you know who you are and what you want, the less you like things upset you.
I've had a rough year, Dad.
You want an unwritten life? I want an unwritten life.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to be.
I think you just gotta find something you love to do and then do it for the rest of your life.
Conversation anyway.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
It goes. Let's see if I can add Ryan.
What was that? Is that a cow?
That is Chad making cat noises.
Oh, tell him he sounds like a baby cow. I mean, you can tell him later. I know he's probably in the other room.
Yeah, they're watching Jack Ryan.
I heard it's bad.
I keep hearing mixed things.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm We're alive. Here. I just downgraded from like I'm good to alive. This is the podcast where we get honest. Wait a minute. Is this a crossover? Is that what we're doing? I can't remember exactly what we talked about.
We're not going to have an episode this week, so, well, probably not. We haven't talked to Jess. I meant to send her an email and I forgot. So, even if we did talk to her at some point this week, it probably would be later in the weekend. So, I could put it up in both feeds. So,
I'm down for the crossover.
Here's the
You don't see that in TV enough anymore.
I agree, except for CW. They do it all the time. So
only once a year for crossover.
But it feels like all the time because it's all I ever hear about those shows because I don't watch them anymore. All I ever hear is crossover, so I feel like they do it all year long. So here's the thing, Ryan. Do you know that we don't introduce ourselves on this podcast?
Yeah, I've listened to most of one episode.
Our biggest fan outside of Marie. Shout out to Marie. So I'm not going to introduce myself. You guys can do, if y'all want to do automatic for the people stuff, you can.
We'll do an intro, like later, and then I can.
I'm with the dog. Because
right now, if we try to record an intro, the damn dog is just going to keep barking. So it would throw me off anyway. So
I'm whatever. The damn dog.
Our intros on the X-Wing Files have become like my favorite thing to do because it's somebody always says something, or either that
does or people I've say something in an intro,
something different,
something off the wall.
Yeah, so.
Ryan,
I'm the fulcrum, bitch.
Ryan, for like for about a minute. No, for however long you've been on this call, I have thought your little avatar on Skype was a neon spider, and then I realized it was Grievous, and that's really... Yes,
definitely Grievous, which is kind of a neon spider.
And when you have bad vision and you're at a distance, it definitely is a neon spider, but up close, it's pretty badass.
No, yeah, I'm with you. When I look at it, you know, without my glasses on, it just looks like a floating head with some neon lights around it.
Is your Grievous love, is that from the Tartakovsky series? Is that where that started?
Yes.
Okay.
I
knew you loved him.
That was really my kind of like major introduction to Grievous outside of him being the little puss that he was in episode 3.
Oh my god.
You need to take some Theraflu.
He was falling apart.
Well, I know it now. I like him now. That was me making fun of him like 10 years ago.
I want to turn this dog into a part machine. That way I could just be like, shut up.
Then just be a robot dog.
What is the dog saying up?
Squirrel.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember him saying. I think he says other things.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does say other things. I've only seen part of that movie once.
Oh my god.
Wow. Every time I try to watch it, man, I get interrupted. Like, when they land the house, it doesn't land. Like, it's just floating along the ground. And they're trying to make it up to where he wants to go. And I always wind up getting stopped there, and I never turn it back on.
There's this podcast, it's a film podcast that I like, and they were talking about Up and sort of like just a sideways conversation, and they went, Up is one of those movies where like everyone remembers the first 10 minutes of it, but in reality like the following 90 minutes don't even exist because nobody remembers them. Everyone just remembers those first 10 minutes and no one remembers what happens after that, and I feel like that's true.
I think it's true too. I haven't seen the rest of the movie.
As somebody who remembers what happens after that, I don't think it's true.
Well, not as a literal statement, but think about like the cultural awareness. Everyone goes, man, the first 10 minutes are Up. That's some good stuff. And no one's like, man, I love that talking dog.
I like the Dodo or whatever that thing is, Kevin. I like that thing.
Well, now that you say it, I remember it, but I've forgotten it until right now.
What's the Pixar movie with the... Robbie or Wally?
Wally.
I only remember like the first 20 or 30 minutes of Wally.
Well, that's the best 20 minutes of Wally. But I've seen Wally since Ezra will be 3 in September, so I've seen it 1 million times.
Hey, look, when
I like multiplication, he'll be 3 in September, 1 million times.
Look, Ryan, do you remember what Avi liked to watch repeatedly?
No.
Cars.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
And I don't hate Cars. I hate Cars 2. I think Cars 2 is terrible. First Cars movie is okay. But when you see it, like, five times in a three-day span, you're just like, F this movie.
It's Owen Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Owen Wilson, without his whole body doing his thing with his hand, is the most annoying person I've ever listened to in my entire life.
I think the worst joke I ever made was about Owen Wilson.
What is it?
He was the, if I'm remembering this right, he's the voice of Marmaduke.
Yes, that is correct. The Marmaduke movie? Yeah. A movie I never saw, but that is correct.
When the trailer came out, I think online I posted, just saw the Marmaduke trailer. The suicide attempt makes perfect sense now.
That's pretty bad. pretty bad.
Yeah.
I just thought it was because he was in love with his best friend's sister and his best friend's family would never accept him.
I mean, yeah. The plot of that movie is very prophetic.
So what are we doing on this thing today? We didn't make any plans, which is fine with me. I meant to tell you,
don't forget to bring your book.
Oh, I can just run up and get it.
Okay.
A book of what?
Yeah, so the book of If. Explain it to the audience and to Ryan, and okay. I'll be back when, like...
All right, so it's called The Book of If, and it is, simply put, a bunch of if scenarios or questions like... I'm trying to think. If you... The first one we did, I think, was if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? You have to think about it that hard?
Yeah.
My answer was almost immediate.
What was it? Chocolate cake?
It was cheesecake.
God. It's not chocolate, stupid. It's cheesecake.
But it was specifically our mother's cheesecake because it is the only thing she can cook.
So, well, she can cook a couple of other things. But food, that's a hard one, man. So you can't fault me for thinking about that. Because, I mean, like, I can... My options would come down to... Peanut butter and jelly, and then
the dog.
Yeah.
So, I just sat down and heard you, Ryan, going, "You can't fault me for that," but it sounded like you guys were having a fight, and then you go, "But the options come down to peanut butter and jelly or the dog." So that was the most amazing and surreal experience of my whole day.
Yeah, we're doing it like day.
Let me say it's my favorite surreal experience of the day. How about that? Did you explain what we're doing, Logan?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So what's peanut butter and jelly and the dog? Why are we deciding between the two?
Logan said the dog. I'm not going to eat the dog. But
oh, I got it. If you had, I gotcha.
One food for the rest of your life. I mean, pecan pie, cheesecake, or probably strawberry. Not cheesecake. That's yours. Peanut butter and jelly, pecan pie, or some kind of cake, but that's hard to... Not birthday cake. Any other kind of non-chocolate cake.
Red velvet cake.
Do we want to play?
Sure. Yeah, but one thing I do want to make a little bit of... Because I actually made a point of keeping a list of the things that I watched, just in case.
Okay.
So, at some point, just because I went to the effort to do it.
What did you watch? I watched stuff, too. I'm pulling my list up. I watched stuff.
So, I watched the first three episodes of this show called Kiss Me First on Netflix.
Sounds like a reality show on VH1.
It's a terrible name for what... I think I can hook you with this premise.
Okay.
It is... the girl with the dragon tattoo meets Ready Player One.
But I didn't like Ready Player One. How are you hooking me with half of things I don't like? And the other half is really dark and sad. I'm not
right.
Hooked.
It's like if it was a dark, interesting version of Ready Player One that wasn't about nostalgia. No, it's a British show. Does that help?
That is helping. That is helping. So is it a comedy?
No, not at all.
So is it tonally like those things?
So there is a moment in episode... God, I can't... You should watch it. I don't want to spoil it for you like I did BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, you dick.
It's very, very dark. Very... not very dark, but it gets pretty dark. The Ready Player One thing is only comes into play because she is involved in a virtual reality world, the main character, and her mom dies in the first episode. And so she just kind of just sinks deeper and deeper into this virtual reality world and gets pulled into this like shady group. But at one point you think like they're all evil and they're kind of like trying to draw her in, maybe like frame her for something or convince her to do something evil. But then like you start learning other things and it's like, wait, is she the evil one?
Like, all right, fine. It's on my list. I've added it. I'm intrigued.
I really, really like it.
I hate the picture on the Netflix because you know how Netflix has all these terrible images.
It's terrible.
It's like, look,
why did
see
they
the
get to choose like what stupid picture you have to look at?
I don't know. Honestly,
it should be the advertisement poster. That's it.
I don't even know what made me decide to watch the first episode, but the picture and the name of the show do not do it any favors at all.
Do you want to hear something funny? So Netflix uses, and I'm totally outing myself right now, and that's fine, but Netflix uses like your viewing habits to tailor the images to what they think will appeal to you, right? That's how they do this. So I typed in the word kiss me, because looking for this, because I can't remember the third word of the title, because I already forgot. And I was searching it, and all these results come up, and every single image is of two women either kissing or about to kiss.
So,
and then randomly at the bottom of the list is just a picture of Mike Coulter as Luke Cage, because they're recommending Luke Cage as well.
So
I don't know what that says about me, but it says something.
I feel like this is the whole reason that show popped up into my, like, hey, you should watch this.
Well, that would be why I've never heard of it.
It was because of that. Because
I'm not a super duper... Well, I have to watch what I view on Netflix anyways.
I'm a guy who is open for anyone to love anyone, that's all. And Netflix knows it.
You're just a wild and crazy guy.
Well, you should be watching Wynonna Earp, because it's the only like genre show that I know of on like a major network that has two main characters that are both gay. So
it's the best worst show on TV.
Yeah, I know I need to watch it. Everyone keeps talking about it. And now that you guys watch it, it means I know people who watch it, and it makes me feel the peer pressure.
It is one of those shows. It is one of those shows you have to kind of like get through the bad to enjoy what is good and fun about it, because there's a lot of bad stuff. But it's more like the bad, and it's so bad it's good. Like, they know they're making something really cheesy and goofy and all that. So what else? Oh, I watched all of this other animated show on Netflix called Paradise PD that I think was supposed to go to Comedy Central. They filmed the pilot, and Comedy Central immediately canned the show.
Is it because it's explicit or just not good?
It is not great.
Oh, now I know why that sounded familiar. Because when Brickleberry ended, I knew there was another show coming.
Yep, it's from the people that did Brickleberry. Yeah. So it goes out of its way to be offensive, which sometimes is funny and sometimes it's just like,
I like Brickleberry.
That's too much. You will probably like this show. There are parts of it that I laughed at. What really hooked me was... there's this subplot. It's this small town with this like stupid, ridiculous police force, kind of like Reno 911, and there's this whole subplot running through the episodes about this new kind of meth a la Breaking Bad. And, like, the mystery of who the mastermind was kind of hooked me. And I was like, well, I kind of want to know now. I really should have just skipped to the last episode of season one. And because it tells you, I'm like, I would not have wasted 4 hours watching the entire first season. So, but I was also reorganizing my comics while I was doing it. So, I mean, it's one of those shows I didn't have to pay attention to. So that was nice. I, unlike some people, watch Beautiful Girls. So
I watched it 2 weeks ago, Dick.
You did? You never said anything.
Because I keep forgetting, and then you shamed me like that, and so and I remembered. But I did watch it like two weeks ago.
Like the movie?
Yeah, yeah. Like I watched it like the week I said I would watch it. I watched it that next day.
I have been trying for five years to get him to watch this movie.
Jonathan Demme, right?
Yeah, the one that died.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think?
Man, that's a great movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I knew that was coming.
That's probably why I didn't remember to say anything. But I would consistently go, damn it, I forgot to say something about that. But yeah, no. Natalie Portman's great in it. It's really creepy.
Yeah, like, that whole thing is creepy. I love Michael Rapaport in that movie.
Like, well, I love Michael Rapaport. He's like got a crazy energy on screen that I just love, especially that show. What's the show he was in? It's like a sitcom that I really love.
Yeah, it was on Fox. It was actually kind of like Grounded for Life.
It's not Grounded for Life?
No, that's the one with the dude.
That's
the Gotham. Fringe in Gotham. I'm looking it up. Sorry. So yeah, no, I didn't like it. But I do agree about Michael Rapaport, but at the same time, his character was like good God, dude, take the pictures of the models off your
And I really loved the Dylan character too, because it was like very tragic. Like his wife, it reminded me of like Wyatt Earp in the movie Tombstone, with his wife being like just so crazy. And
but he's the one that made her crazy.
Being in love with this other girl.
God, yeah. I'm looking for this show and I can't find it.
Which he's the one that made her crazy. So kind of like Wyatt Earp.
I love that movie. I knew you were going to watch it and be like, yeah, I don't get it. I also watched it when I was like,
I didn't say 19. I don't get it. I said I don't like it.
Which makes the not liking it more valid. Like, I totally get it. Still don't like it.
So, Boston Public, I loved him. I think that's where I first saw him, was on Boston Public, because I watched that show pretty heavily in high school. But I feel like there's another show, War at Home.
Yeah, War at Home.
That one. Yeah, watch that.
I don't think I watched that show. I do love Michael Rapaport.
Holy shit, Rami Malek is in War at Home.
I'm going to have to check that out.
The first image is of Michael Rapaport and Rami Malek as like magicians in glittery clothes, if you look them up on IMDb. Holy crap! We've just discovered the best thing we could have ever discovered in this crossover episode. I'm also saying his name wrong. Rami, sorry. That's not the one.
Well, at least you didn't say Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Someone said that? Who said that?
Some dude on Twitter. It was so funny.
Okay. He retweeted by Sam Esmail.
Was like, you made Sam Raimi's career, and Sam Esmail was like, I think he was doing fine before I got there.
Sam Esmail's been pretty fun the last few weeks, I feel like. Since they announced the end of the show, it's like, he's like, who cares? I can say whatever I want to.
I'm glad you brought that up. Last night at midnight, he tweeted, so what kind of Nikes should I get?
Just do it.
Thought about taking white out. I have like this pair of Nike, technically they're running shoes, and I thought about like taking white, and they're solid black, and taking white out and just putting swooshes all over it, and be like, I stole all your swooshes, you assholes. So we got way off track. So you rewatched Beautiful Girls.
Yeah.
Do you still love it?
Yeah, I mean, I really do. There's parts of it.
What's your excuse?
That's a joke.
But
it perfectly captures like that small town thing.
It does have that. I agree.
It's so hard to do without making it seem like they're making fun of people. You know, like so many movies try to do it. Like Fargo. I like Fargo a lot, but it's really just making fun of most of those characters. And
yeah, so that's hard.
That's fine, but that's not, you know, that's not all it's about.
Well, work. Even if it doesn't come off as making fun of them, usually when they try, it comes off as just cliche. Whether, yeah. You know, even if it's serious, it's still cliche.
And, like, Beautiful Girls never goes into, like, oh, so what are you going to do? Just, like, you know, scrape out the snow and mow lawns in the summer for the rest of your life? Like, they don't get into that. Like, this is just what they do, and that's their life. And nobody is judging really anybody else for things like that. It's more about the kind of person you are. And turns out they're all just kind of douchebags. So.
And I always watched it like it came out, what, when we were late teens, early 20s?
Yeah, right around high school.
So I always when I saw it, I thought about, like, if the Goonies grew up, like, and moved away. And then they all come back and realize that, yeah, they're all still good friends. But like Logan said, they're all still kind of douchebags.
Yeah.
That'd be the saddest movie ever.
No, I mean, Goonies. Beautiful Girls is pretty sad.
The sequel ever. Like,
it's very melancholy, and I appreciate that. I do think the whole thing with Natalie Portman, yes, it's creepy, but I do like the resolution of it.
That he decides not to wait for the teenage girl to become an adult?
I don't think he was ever truly entertaining the idea. It was more about just, like, talking it through. You know, like, this is the thing.
But he talked it through with her. That's the problem. That's where.
Yeah, that makes it, like, creepy. He couldn't figure that out by himself.
But she approaches the subject. Like, he doesn't say anything. She's the one that says something.
Because I know I've been joking this whole podcast, so now it's going to sound like I'm just joking. But I'm very much not, okay? This is my issue with that. Is that. I'm trying to think of the most safe target to go after. So let's say the teenage guy that that told on Kevin Spacey, right? I guarantee you, in my mind, that guy did not necessarily reject the idea of Kevin Spacey being into him until things got to a certain point, and then it was too far gone. She's entertaining something she's not old enough to have the conversation about.
Which is what he says.
And the I understand. But the movie itself, I don't think levels with that. Like, there's, like, I don't think he ever has a moment of, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I don't think the movie does either. And I need one of them, as a movie that's trying to paint this, and I do think you guys are right about the small town atmosphere and how friends are, especially after time. I think there's a lot of honesty in it, and I think the honesty of how messed up that situation is, besides friends being like, what an asshole, why would you want to talk to her? Like, I don't think they level with that situation, and it threw me completely out of the movie the whole time.
I agree with that. It does have Rosie O'Donnell's, like, finest performance ever, though.
You haven't seen all of Smilf.
Oh, she's in that?
She's so good in Smilf.
Oh, man.
Dude.
she's like all of my in-laws that are moms. All my family on my dad's side, I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but they're all in Boston, like literally in Boston. And there's nine brothers and sisters, and they're all married. So there's, I mean, including my stepmom. Yeah, yeah. All nine wives in my northern family are Rosie O'Donnell and Smilf. Some version of her. It's insane.
I love her tirade in Beautiful Girls. It's so freaking good. You know, when they're walking through the drugstore.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff I just like.
Dude, you got to finish Smilf, man. I'm telling you, I hate Rosie O'Donnell. And she was probably close to my favorite character in the show.
I'll have to. I watched the pilot, and I was like, this is pretty good, but like I was not prepared for how far it went, and much like that other show. What was that show you told me to watch, Spencer? And I watched one episode, and I was like, I can't watch this. Which is weird, because I'm talking about how much I like a movie where, like, 30-year-old dude is
that
like...
That is kind of weird.
She's 16. She'll be 18 soon. Or 15, that was, or whatever she was.
That's like every... I don't know. Never mind. I don't know what... I don't have a complete thought on that, so I'm not going to finish my terrible thought.
It's a very small town thing, though.
96. The movie came out in 96. Just to let you know.
Is it fall in love with their teachers?
We had a teacher that was sleeping with his students, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about the reverse of that. He was a guy sleeping with his students.
So, have I ever told you how much I loved Uma Thurman?
No, but apparently you and Ryan share that. So
yes. I didn't know she was in the movie.
I love her, and it's maybe the only Uma Thurman performance I out and out love.
She's like the famous one that comes back, right?
Well, she's the hot cousin who comes to
her. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
And that also perfectly defines my other problem with the movie is every woman is a type. They're not a character.
I completely agree with that.
Uma Thurman is the hot cousin who comes to town to visit. Natalie Portman is the Lolita of the neighborhood. The one's the lovesick whore. One is the, and I mean that by definition, not like me labeling her. That's the type she's been made into. The one who's after Matt Dillon. And one is the sort of weak-willed, lovesick person, which is the one who Matt Damon or Matt Dillon should be with. Matt Damon would have been great in this movie.
I think Matt Dillon's pretty good. One of the few performances that, you know, like,
no,
yeah,
he is.
He's really
not
good.
Annoying at all. And I think that's, like, I don't mean, like, he's, that's a good thing.
No, he's, it's very easy for him to be annoying.
I think, like, he's got some, like, performance, like, things he does that are just kind of grating sometimes. And I don't think it's really him. I think it's what he thinks he needs to do to act. And he's doing so little of that. And so I think he is very good in the movie. So, like, I complimented it.
Well, did y'all watch any of the Jack Ryan series?
No, we were just talking about it before you jumped on, about how the reviews are not good, and I'm hearing very mixed things. So,
have you watched?
I watched, I think, the first four episodes.
Is it fun?
I wouldn't say fun. The first episode is fun.
I wanted it to be fun. It looked like a Amazon action show with.
Yeah, I wanted it to be James Bond, John, or Krasinski as James Bond. Mm-hmm. You know,
like kind of boring American James Bond. I was in for it.
Yeah, it's not so much Bond, or what is the other one with the British intelligence, the Kingsman. Yeah, you kind of get some of that in the first episode, and not much. It's more about, like, world views, I guess. You know, like, other side of the coin type stuff going on.
Sure. It's funny, because it's like, I mean, like, Jack Ryan as a character, I've read a few of those books and stuff, and, like, he's kind of dry. It's the closest Jack Ryan's ever been to what he is in the books is in The Hunt for Red October, Alec Baldwin's version of Jack Ryan. But the way Amazon was hyping this show, I was like, I'm totally fine to diverge because I have no loyalty to Tom Clancy books. But it's like, this looks like, let's turn him into a fun spy. And Krasinski's got like a cool presence that I never would have thought. But I saw that the Michael Bay movie that he did, 13 Hours. And he is a total badass in that movie. And so I was like, yeah, let's mix Jim Halpert with the badass soldier guy from 13 Hours and make a super spy. That sounds fun. And that sounds disappointing. They didn't do that.
Do you both remember that he was the second place choice for Captain America?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. But he would have made a good Captain America.
I mean, I remember the outcry of, like, you're going to get Jim Halpert from The Office to play Captain America. And, like, look at him now, and it's just like, holy shit. Jim Halpert from The Office totally should have played Captain America.
But you know what, man? Have either one of you seen A Quiet Place yet?
I saw it. Yes.
Yeah, Logan took my. Did you take Casey?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Jesus, man! Like, I'm so glad his career did not go the Marvel way just because we got that movie.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have had it if he had become Captain. There's no way. I saw Captain America's movie, and then even close to Quiet Place.
Well, I tried to watch the epic series, Get Shorty.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is it?
Well, I only made it halfway through the first episode, but I was totally thrown off because I haven't read the book. What is it?
It's called Get Shorty.
Is it Get Shorty? Well, I was thinking of the Tarantino movie that's got a different name.
There's Jackie Brown. It's his Tarantino's. You thinking Be Cool, maybe?
Rum Punch was Rum Punch. Jackie Brown. Yeah.
Yep.
But I haven't. I don't have any knowledge of Get Shorty, the book.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen the movie. So I don't know if this is just a play on the movie that was loyal to the book, or if this is loyal to the book and I was thrown off by which characters are which. You get what I'm saying? Like, because I'm thinking Danny DeVito and John Travolta and...
Right.
Like, the characters threw me off. Yeah. So I'm going to give it another try. I'm not going to say it was bad, but I didn't get hooked. Like Jack Ryan, the first episode, I was like, oh, I'm down. And then three episodes later, I'm like, I'm not really down with this anymore.
So,
but that's about the only new shows that I watched. Spencer, do you watch Misfits and Monsters?
I don't even know what that is.
You're the only person watching that show, Ryan. You and Bobcat Goldthwait.
It's Bobcat.
What is it, though? Tell me what it is.
It's an anthology show, like Tales from the Crypt, kind of.
Okay, so every episode's...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only 30 minutes long. Every episode's different. A lot of it is... It's done cheaply, but they play on the... cheap, you know, tone of the backgrounds and stuff. It all looks very much like sets, but they play on that, you know. But it's more comedy than it is horror, like Tales from the Crypt. And he touches on a lot of political issues, a different one each show. Like one episode, they elected a guy president simply based off his popularity, and he turned out to be a werewolf. And you know, and then like people looked around and they're like, "No, that's okay. Werewolves are cool." Like, no, stupid.
Here's the thing about Bobcat. I think Bobcat has a really, really unique perspective on life, but he also knows how to like channel that into storytelling. So even if like I think he made this one movie, that's got I think America in the title of it. God Bless America.
Yeah,
it's not like my favorite movie in the world at all. Like, I actually didn't like it, but he had it. Like, it felt like a perspective and a voice. Like, I still respected the fact that I knew what he was going for. He wasn't tampered down. It was Bobcat, and so like I like the idea of a show of him kind of jumping around doing different things, because even if something doesn't work, God Bless America is a movie that, like, sticks in my mind because it's memorable.
Right.
So that sounds very interesting to me. And I like the idea that it's an anthology because I could like watch a couple episodes, go watch something else.
Yes, you don't have to remember anything episode to episode. That's why I like it.
That sounds pretty. I'm actually very interested in this now.
Oh, good. You can watch it and talk to him about it because he won't stop asking me to watch it.
No, Logan's the worst about watching things you want him to watch. He gets all offended by something that's on Amazon and won't watch it again. Did we ever solve what that show was, Logan?
No, it's the one with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, Fleabag.
Yeah, that's it.
That's so good. It's so good. Logan got awkward because she has anal sex in the first episode, and he wouldn't watch the rest of it.
It was just not like I put it on. I started watching it, and like she immediately starts talking about it. I was like, I'm not in the right frame of mind for any of this.
I think he was like, I'm in Spencer and Katie's house. There's a child that lives here. I can't watch this. Is that what happened?
I mean, no, not exactly. So
it's so good, and you've never tried any more.
No, I mean, I might go back to it eventually.
So. It's all about being, it's all about trying to figure out if you're a terrible person and a terrible friend and bad at life altogether. You would love it.
I mean, that is like, that's me on a daily basis. I need a show that does that.
You watch BoJack, so I know that you do like shows that do that.
I did actually watch some.
The animated.
Yeah. It makes it less hurty when it's animated. Like, I don't feel so
She's
bad.
She's British. She's very animated in a British way.
Yeah. I did watch some BoJack this past week, so.
I am up to the current season before the new one comes out, so I'm like two episodes in.
So he's already done the absolutely horrible, unforgivable.
Is this the Emily thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where so it's like, wait, what?
So it's funny, he did that, but then, hey, Ryan, have you watched BoJack Horseman?
I've watched like three episodes.
Oh my God, dude, I hate shows like this, and I can't stop watching it. It's so fucking good. Like, I think when I get done with it, it's going to be like a top 10 show of all time for me. Like, I think it is so, so good. It's so good that I just said the F word and I didn't mean to. Him and Sarah Lynn, dude, like, you can talk about Emily all day long, but him and that and the girl from the show, that whole thing, that messed me up. It's some dark stuff.
Yeah, it gets really, really dark.
Yeah, I made it to where they start sleeping together.
Oh, it gets so much darker.
Yeah, so much darker.
She goes away for like a whole season and comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Katie's watching it. I had Katie watch it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's a conversation I want to have right there.
She finally just went, hey, quit watching ahead of me. Because she would come into the show and I'd be like, time warp three episodes. And she's like, what happened? So I have to, now we're watching the most recent season together. And we're going to watch the new one when it comes out together. It's weird. I never know when she's going to like hook on to a show that's dark like that. But she is into it.
But and I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I also love that, like, little things that they just hold on to. Like, he steals the D from the Hollywood sign. So,
and it stays that way.
Yeah. And that's in, like, episode 3 or 4 or something like that. It's early on.
Yeah.
And not only does the sign stay that way, they stop calling it Hollywood. They just call it Hollywood.
For like 4 seasons, right? It never changes.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the sign used to say Hollywood Land?
Yes.
Yep. Well, they just keep removing letters and everyone just adapts.
It's insane.
It's still every now and then, like, because I forget that that's like the whole running gag. And every now and then it occurs to me as like, because they'll cut to like journalists talking about today in Hollywood. But they'll go, and today in Hollywood, and it's just... it tickles me, Ryan. It just tickles me.
But then it gets like so, like, deep and introspective and dark and. But even the stupid things, like we talked last week about his ex dating what is very much just 3 children walking around, on each other's shoulders in a trench coat, and it's such a stupid idea. But it just works so well. And it's just like this metaphor for modern dating and like social apps and stuff like
it's
that.
It's like she's getting catfished in person.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And she just totally accepts it because he's nice to her and because he's too dumb to ask questions.
She's like, he's so smart. And it's just like, no,
and
he's not.
He's like, she has chocolate. Because I am 8, and that's all that matters. Here's the thing, Logan. They never really address sex. But, yeah. Like, it's kind of funny to me because I feel like that's part of the joke is that so we have this huge thing. I'm totally about to get deep in Hollywood. So we've had this thing for, like, I don't know, 12, 13 years about, the man-child character being so popular in comedy, Seth Rogen movies, basically all of them, right? Like Knocked Up. So it's like it's kind of commenting on this idea that for so many years in Hollywood, the idea is to have like a man baby as the ideal man. But in the end, with like someone like Princess Caroline, the agent, it's even better because like he's a literal man-child, and he also can't have sex with her, so they can't be distracted, and she can just be a professional lady. The only way she can be a professional adult woman is to be dating a literal man-child who cannot have sex with her.
And it's not even because he doesn't want to have sex with her, or because he has some deformity. It's literally because it's like a 3-4-year-old stacked on top of each other. So
it's amazing. It's the only way you're safe in Hollywood is to date a man child.
A literal man child. Yeah, you need three of them just standing on top of each other.
That's the thing about BoJack, is on the surface it's a funny joke because, oh, look, it's three, 8-year-olds tacked on top of each other. Ha ha. But really, it's so much deeper than that. And I love it all.
Then you'll definitely love Misfits and Monsters.
Now, I'm excited. I'm looking at the pictures. I've seen that poster pop up as a recommendation, maybe on Amazon. So I'm gonna check it out for sure. So, I saw Crazy Rich Asians in a theater.
I envy you. I can't say that movie was coming, and I was like, "Ooh, this is gonna be great." But the more I saw about it, and then watched the previews, I was like, "Oh my God, this is gonna be one of those movies that is just." You know, just act like Four Weddings and a Funeral or something.
Oh, it's just there you go.
So funny that the joke lasts forever, you know, no matter how many times you watch it.
Setting off to the side so I don't spend an hour just talking about this. All of the amazing things it does for diversity for film, because it is, it's all like the only non-Asian characters are like, the people who serve them on an airplane or something like that. it's a completely Asian cast, which is amazing and wonderful and like good for them. And it's a big Hollywood movie breaking barriers. And I agree with all of that, but putting that over to the side, it is Four Weddings and a Funeral. It is just a straight up that level romantic comedy, just a good movie. There's a moment, maybe 2/3 of the way in, it's a wedding scene. This gives nothing away, but it's a wedding scene, and it is filmed. It's probably my favorite scene I've ever enjoyed watching in a movie theater since the running through the airport at the end of Love Actually in a romance. It is so, so good. And yeah, man, I loved it. Katie loved it. I can't explain how good Crazy Rich Asians is if you are a fan of the romance genre. So if you like Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love Actually, things anywhere in between on that spectrum, there's no question you will enjoy this film. It is so good.
Is it weird that I do not like Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Love Actually is like one of the three romantic whatever movies that I actually adore?
No, I think they're good I think it's a good spectrum. So if you don't like Four Weddings, you probably like Love Actually. They're sort of camps.
But
I think
they're made by the same person.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I like weird romantic comedies too. Even though neither one of those are weird, but like Serendipity is probably my favorite romantic comedy of all time.
I love Serendipity. We went to New York back in January. So I made Katie watch Serendipity about a week before we went to New York, and she had never seen it. So like I'm with you. I'm a big fan of that one. And I just heard someone recently talk about how much they like Serendipity on a podcast. I think that movie's having a resurgence, and we're part of that, Ryan.
Yep. It'd be really funny if it was our podcast.
No, it wasn't. I'm sure.
It definitely was not y'all's.
I would have went off like talked about that movie forever.
Yeah, I go out of my way not to bring that movie up.
You're heartless.
It's just so ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Love is ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess. I also watched The Greatest Showman. So.
Oh my God. I hate that movie. Just to put it on the record, y'all can love it, whatever. I hate that movie.
Sorry, what movie?
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, I'm not gonna watch it.
Look, I'm going to say this. If you have to be forced to watch that movie, watching it with a group of, like, in the age ranging between, like, 2 years old and 11 years old, watching it with a group of children that age range that absolutely adore it and know the words to all the songs and will perform while you're watching it, you should watch it that way.
That does sound fun. Once. It was, I think it was called Hannah Montana or something like that, that I had to watch them perform in my living room. That happened once, and that movie.
Well, if I have to watch this, I guess
actually it was the live concert movie. That's why it sucked. So, like, who wants to pay to go see a con? I can watch YouTube videos.
I paid to go see Glee. So,
Katie and I. So I watched The Greatest Showman in our bedroom. So we have Ryan, and I don't even know, Logan, if you've really paid attention, because you can see it through our living room. But so we have our queen size bed is in our bedroom, and to the right of it is a kind of a small workstation where Katie does her photo editing. That way, it was mainly set up this way because she could be by the baby monitor for Ezra when he was first born, but we just never moved it. And so if I'm sitting in the bed, I'm looking at the TV, and she's and Katie is editing on the computer, looking away from the TV, right? So can you kind of picture that, the setup? And so I'm watching The Greatest Showman, saying I'm gonna finally check this movie off the movies to see list because everyone's freaking talking about it. And about 20 minutes into it, Katie turns around, like she has a swivel chair, so like an office chair. She swivels around, kicks her feet up on the bed, and we basically Mystery Science Theater 3000 the rest of the movie for like 2 hours, just making fun of it, because like, even not watching it, she could tell how bad it was. We just enjoyed it. It was a good time.
So I don't think it's good. I don't think it's terrible. I do think there is a really, really great song. It's the one that everybody talks about, that the bearded lady sings. Like, that particular sequence I thought was pretty good. Everything else I thought was eh. And my concern was that they were never going to paint him in the negative light that history should and hopefully will continue to paint him in. And that, like, he was, as much as he, like, did kind of, like, champion, like, civil rights to some degree, he was exploitative completely and, you know, was not the greatest person. So, and they do. I mean, you saw the movie, so you know they do. Just not to the extent there was just like, well, I mean, like eventually he just wound up running a traveling animal abuse center. So it's not great.
Terrible.
But yeah, anyway, so,
I'm trying to think if I watched anything else exciting. I've done a lot of BoJack. I saw Crazy Rich Asians. I watched a French vampire movie, which was not really about vampires, but it was. It's like, it's one of those things where they're obviously vampires, but they won't call them that in the movie, which was pretty good. And I don't think I have. I watched a movie called Landline, which has Jenny Slate of Parks and Rec fame, among other things, dated Captain America for a while. But it was really good. Sort of it's set in 1995, which was weird because I was so nostalgic for everything in the movie. Because that's like my time period of like peak memory of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it's, it's like this family little drama, and it's got Edie Falco from The Sopranos, and it's just good. And John Turturro's in it, and just this fun little comedy drama thing, and I liked it. It's on Amazon Prime. If you get 90 minutes, you're just going to want to watch a family drama comedy where Jenny Slate laughs a lot in her weird Jenny Slate laugh that's kind of wonderful. I recommend it on Amazon Prime.
I like her a lot. I always felt a little bad that Parks and Rec, like, she's so good at that one note character, but that show never lets her be anything except like that one note character.
What's her name? Do you remember her name? It's Jean Raphael, and
God, no, not off the top of my head. I should know it.
Yeah, I feel like I should too. Have you seen Obvious Child, the movie she's in, Obvious Child?
I know, it's seen the trailer. I don't think I watched the movie, though.
So Landline is from the same person who made Obvious Child, Gillian Robespierre, I think is how you say her name. It's a female writer-director, and Obvious Child is the... I'm just going for what it really is, not a comment on the movie, but what it really is. It's the abortion comedy, and it's really, really good. It's like Four Weddings and a Funeral if it was like one wedding and an abortion.
Is she a stand-up in the movie?
I'm trying to remember. All I remember is the relationship stuff, so I can't remember what
she does. I feel like I did watch it, but it was... like during that year where I watched like 380 movies, and so
it kind of just remember all of them.
Yeah, it just gets lost in all of that. So, but it's she should be doing more.
She's a stand-up comic in that movie.
Yes. So I did see it. It just gets lost in that shuffle of like I watched a lot of movies. I watched 12 movies this week.
So. Because you don't watch as many movies, I would recommend Landline. It's her follow-up to Obvious Child, and it's a family drama. It's sort of like Obvious Child meets The Way, Way Back.
Oh, God. That definitely sells me on it.
I really think you'll enjoy it. It's a very heartfelt drama about a family that's sort of falling apart, and it's very funny and not like overly hysterical or dramatic. It's just a good, solid comedy drama about a family.
I have to check it out.
So you're more of a I watch three movies this week instead of I watch five new TV shows or five regular shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watch so much more TV now.
Yeah, Logan, I know. I know you watch a lot of TV, Logan.
I can't keep up with his TV watching, Ryan. Like, it's like amazing to me. I've tried to watch more movies. I'm doing pretty well. I'm trying to go for 365 again this year, and I'm not hugely off the mark. But yeah, so I've watched. We also watched 2001 in theaters on Wednesday, but we podcasted on Thursday last week, so we've already talked about it on the show. So that was four movies last week.
Speaking of 2001, I watched the series James Cameron had that was something about science fiction. James
I heard that's Cameron's really good.
Science fiction. It is really good. And I've never seen 2001. The best conversations are between George Lucas and James Cameron. I mean, there's like who can outprick who. Like, I mean, it's ridiculously good. And they're all trying to play smarter than they are, you know. I mean, not that they're not smart people, but like, oh yeah, I had that figured out the whole time. They both come off that way, you know. The best one is Spielberg, obviously. But yeah, it's very good. But I've never seen 2001 and did not realize that how like interconnected everything is to that movie.
It's amazing because, like, Logan and I feel like have spent the last, like, 5 years talking about 2001 on and off. And, like, weird, like, not, like, it just, it keeps coming up. And which is why I think we went to, I mean, you can disagree, Logan, but I think it's why we went to see it this week. It's just been such an ongoing Absolutely. Part of our friendship. And it's not a movie that either one of us, until this past week, when I decided to fall in love with it, but it's not one that we like ever were like, this is my favorite movie or anything like that. It's just something that keeps coming up. And the more you learn about it, like all the special effects guys went on to make like every other science fiction film we do love, you know? And like every one of the people who made those movies we do love would say, oh yeah, 2001 was a huge influence. And it's just sort of like the turning point. It's amazing, and I think this time seeing it in an IMAX screen was the first time I felt it. While I like logically knew stuff and knew little facts, this is the first time I went like, "Oh, I get it this time, finally."
Yeah, it's the series is really good if you ever get a chance to check it out. But yeah, one of the crazy things to me is like, I don't know how to put it, but like Alien, like the atmosphere mm-hmm. that it has, like. It feels like they're all in like a trailer in space. You know what yep. I mean?
Yes.
like that very much came from 2001. Like that whole atmosphere, only, I mean, it's a little different, obviously, but that kind of we're out here alone in space kind of thing.
and it's just a job. That's a big part of it. Cause like the guys, the people in Alien, they're just doing a job. They're like a trucker. And in 2001, maybe the job is a little more elevated than like, you know, hauling freight because they're doing science or whatever, but it is, it's just a job. So no, I completely see what you're saying.
Yeah, but it, yeah, I'm, that's it. It's really interesting if anybody wants to watch it. And like I said, it's worth watching just for James Cameron and George Lucas every time they're sitting down together.
We didn't talk about it last week on the podcast, but my favorite part of going to see 2001 is, A, there was only like 8 of us in the theater, and 4 of them were me, Spencer, his friend Keeler, and Keeler's brother. So one guy, like, and it's assigned seating, so this one dude walks in, sits down in front of us, and looks at us and goes, I'm really sorry, like, that I'm just going to be sitting in front of you. And, I mean, but it was good seats, you know, and he paid for that seat, so that I, you know, as long as he's not going
to
talk.
I think I even said something like that, too, right, to him. Like, I was nice about it.
So,
I feel but by the way, Ryan, I bought the tickets, like, 9 o'clock that morning, and there were no other seats purchased that day. So this dude, after all of us had bought our tickets, bought his ticket right in front of me.
Yeah. Not even like 2 rows in front of us, directly in front of us.
So does it show you that other people have bought?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It tells you like the taken seats.
Okay. So this dude was like, well, I don't want to sit completely by myself, so I'm going to sit right in front of these guys. Right.
Because there were literally only like 8 people in the room, and all the other people sat pretty good distance removed from us, but this one dude is like, I'm sitting right, but I'll be honest, I counted rows and I had the most central seat in the entire theater, so he just got as close to the center as he could get.
Yeah.
Well, which, yeah,
it's fine.
There's that too. Yeah,
dude, I mean, he had obviously seen the movie before, so
he munched on popcorn louder than you though.
Yeah, he was pretty loud. I felt so bad. I talked about that last week. Anyway, so there's an intermission in the movie, and it was, for whatever reason, it's not even a long movie, but it was an extraordinarily long intermission. Like, I feel like the intermission was 15 minutes, and the movie's barely 2 hours long, maybe 2 hours and
15. It's 2 hours and 20-something minutes long.
Well, there you go. And the intermission is 15 minutes. So we start talking about this documentary called Room 237 that's about The Shining and Kubrick's like what it means, and it's like all this conspiracy stuff, and we're telling Keeler about it because Keeler's like kind of just diving into Kubrick. And so this guy, without, and I mean it's fine, but without any kind of like engagement otherwise, it just goes, what's that movie called?
He's got his phone out and he's searching yeah. for it.
Like, we have hooked this dude. Like, he's just been, I mean, we're talking loud, so obviously he can hear us, but he's just like, I'm into this. So he's just like, not even joining in the conversation. He's like, what's that movie called?
Those are the best, though. I mean, like,
I like to think he went to watch that movie, right? And for the rest of his life, he'll be like, man, this one time I saw 2001 and these two dudes were talking about this documentary. Like, we're the story he'll tell forever.
That's the best thing about it.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not any kind of shade towards this dude at all.
Oh, yeah.
I am fascinated by the fact that, like, I am now forever part of this dude's story when he tell somebody else to watch this.
I mean, I have now 2 legacies, my child and this dude.
I sent him out into the world a better man.
anyway, yeah, that was really all I watched besides the usual nonsense that I watch. And
last movie I watched, Spencer, I don't watch a lot. I used to be a movie watcher, and for some reason I turned into a TV watcher.
I've noticed the last... on the X-Wing Files, I've noticed, I'm like, Brian's never watching movies, but he's catching up on his TV shows all the time.
The last movie I watched was actually Tag, because my daughter wanted to watch it, and she was at school. So I was like, well, I'll check it out, you know, just to make sure. Because before Tag, we watched Game Night, and there was some stuff in Game Night where I was like, I don't think she should be watching this.
You probably shouldn't watch Cog Blockers either.
Yeah, I'm not going
Blockers.
To.
Blockers. It's just Blockers.
No, I disagree. Blockers is a great movie about being a parent to a girl and a changing age. I'm just saying
you shouldn't watch it with an 11-year-old.
I don't know, man. Kids grow up fast. Watch it, Ryan. You make your own choices.
Okay. I will. That's one I do want to watch. But Tag is freaking great. But don't let your kids watch it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to see it also. Because I heard Jeremy Renner broke both of his arms, and you'll see that in the movie his arms are not in every shot, like they're behind his back or in his pockets and stuff, because of his broken arms in a lot of shots.
Is that why he didn't show up in Avengers or in Mission Impossible?
Well, I think Mission Impossible, because he's useless in that franchise, and Avengers, oh, coincidence, same reason. No, I don't know. It's a good joke. No, I don't know why he didn't show up in those things.
Tag is great, though. If you weren't a big Ed Helms fan,
I think
when you leave this movie, you'll be like, wow, that was good.
I don't think the Hangover franchise did him any favors besides making him a lot of money, but I do like Ed Helms. So.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm looking forward to it. I plan to. That's one. I've still not seen Game Night, which I've heard such good things about.
Oh, my God, dude. It is so good.
That's what I keep hearing. So I think that Katie and I eventually, because she likes to watch the comedies with me, because I watch like.
If you do a double feature, Game Night and Tag would be the ultimate.
See, that sounds fun. So I know we're going to watch it before the end of the year, but I'll let you know when we do. I'll tweet you because I pay attention to your tweets.
Yeah, tweet me. Nobody else does.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says that.
Just follow me. I changed my name to Weird Shit on like a weekly basis.
It's amazing. I'm like, wait a minute, because I get your notifications like, who is this? And, oh, it's Ryan again.
All right. Yeah, I've got nothing else. So Better Call Saul is awesome. Everybody should be watching it. I'm the only one on this podcast who watches it. So.
The Greatest Showman is coming to HBO, and you would be better off if you didn't watch it.
Instead, watch Ballers, because at least it's soulless intentionally.
No, watch Misfits and Monsters.
I was specifically referencing an HBO show.
Oh, HBO. Gotcha.
So are we going to – you want to do a couple of if questions?
Sure.
Before we wrap it up? All right, so – all right, we're going to do this a fun way, so it's totally random. All right, Ryan, pick a number between 1 and 129.
117.
Okay. Logan, pick a number between 1 and 4.
3.
If you had to recall your worst travel experience, what would it be?
You want me to go first?
Go first.
Sure, if you know it right off the bat.
Yes. Well, we were going to go to Cancun. We did make it there. So we go to the airport at the butt-ass crack of dawn, like earlier than I would get, like, unless my kid was being born, I would never get up this early, especially to drive to Atlanta. But we get to the airport, and of course, you know, once you get there early, you know, to get through, then you just gotta wait. So we're waiting on our flight and like, oh, look, TGI Fridays open at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we go in there and they're actually like, sir, I think it was Fridays. It might've been Apple. I don't know.
They're serving the point breakfast. Is they were serving alcohol.
No, they were serving breakfast. Yes. And alcohol. So of course I had breakfast and like 2 mimosas, I think, or something like that. Some kind of fruity breakfast alcoholic beverage. And I got this, you know, motion sickness patch. And I take half a Xanax. So,
Good Lord.
Well, I mean, it takes a lot. Yeah, well, it takes especially pills or anything. Like, I got to take double what normal people take, and I don't know why. And it's not because I'm a druggie or anything. But, so we get on the plane, and, like, I swear to God, my eyes were closed for, like, 30 minutes. And everything's shaking and rattling, and I'm like, okay, we got to be in the air now. So I open my eyes, and I look over, look out the window. We're still on the damn runway. But as soon as we got up in the air and, like, my nerves just totally, everything hit all at one time. And I had to, like, get my fat ass into the aisle and down to the bathroom before I puked all over somebody. So, yeah, that was the worst.
I think mine was, I was in, gosh, probably third grade, maybe fourth grade. And a old friend of my mom's offered, so my mom, it was just me and my mom growing up, and he offered to meet us in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I was living in Greenville, South Carolina.
I love Gatlinburg.
And so the idea was go to Gatlinburg, he's got all this touristy stuff, right? And I'm like a little kid, and like I'm just right up my wheelhouse to do stuff there. And like take me to all this stuff, and us all like kind of hang out for a week, and we had like the hotel rooms, like the double bed, so he would sit over, like sleep in his bed, and then we would sleep in the other bed. So it wasn't anything like my mom and this guy romantically reuniting. It was just like a longtime friend. And so we went on this trip, but I get to Gatlinburg, and like I mean again I'm like third or fourth grade, something about the traveling has made it so I can't go to the bathroom. Like, I can pee, but I can't go to the bathroom.
Right.
So by day two, I'm miserable. And it's like a five-day trip. And I just remember, all I remember is I'd never went on the entire trip. And I was basically felt terrible for three out of the five-day trip. And it was awful.
I've never heard of stage fright for pooping.
I don't know what the deal was. I have no memory of being anxious or whatever. But I remember like, I'm like, I refused Dollywood because I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything. You guys do whatever you want to do. And I'll just, if I can sit, that would be great. And I was sick the whole time. It was the worst thing. So worst travel I remember.
I don't travel that much. So, I mean, there was this one time I took my vacation to Chattanooga and then wound up in the hospital with cancer.
Honestly, that's the best answer you could have given.
It is, but it worked out good for me.
That was pretty disappointing.
All right.
But I guess the alternative was...
I got to see Transformers.
Yeah, I mean...
And you in Tennessee. Die.
Yeah, and you didn't almost die. Actually, that's not true.
I did almost die. More times than you did.
Mine was just once. His were several times in the rain with my mom in the car.
Driving. Like, I've never seen anyone speed into traffic like that. Like, just surrounded by a sea of cars, and it's pouring down rain, and there's nothing but taillights in front of us. And they all got their brakes on, and she's like, how fast can I get to the rear end of the next car in front of us?
I mean, in her defense, she was very panicked. So, you know.
I'm capable of driving.
Oh, God, I just remember you guys showing up in the room. Whew. That was such an intense moment.
It was the stories that I've never... One day I would like to hear all the stories that happened while I was in this medically induced coma.
Yeah, you're not the only one, buddy. I have some weird dreams and thoughts that I could tell that were just out of this world.
You were in an actual coma, though.
I mean, I was in Disney movies, it felt like, for years. I mean, like, just one after another. Like, every time I get out of one, I wind up in another one.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Ryan was in the hospital for quite a long stretch. It's a running theme with the family. Long stretches in the hospital where we almost died. Yeah, I can't wait to see who almost dies this year. So, I just hope it's not one of us.
I just remember.
I was about to say, did Spencer just like?
He was like, I don't know what to say to that.
I just went into like, I'm stuck in my memory. But I just remember the next day after all of that, and you guys were there, Ryan, with you and your mom were there, and Katie was like, why didn't you let any of us come sit with you? Like, what happened? And I remember thinking, like, holy shit. I sat at that hospital for like 6 hours, maybe more, waiting for you and your mom to get there, Ryan. And like, everyone offered to come and sit with me. And I was like, no, I just need them to get here. And wow. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that I actually needed someone to sit with me and talk to me. But I was just like, no, because like Scott, our friend Scott was at the film festival and he offered to come up. And I was like, and he actually tried to come up. I was like, no, you got to go watch the movies. And which makes no sense. And Katie was shooting the film festival, but she was willing to come. And I was like, no, you've got to take the pictures. And then like my uncle and my aunt were here and they offered to come up. And I was like, no, you have to be people. I don't know. Like, I couldn't. I was just like so focused on being there when you guys got there that I think I felt like anything else would have been a distraction and I could have missed you. Something crazy like that.
Well, irrational. I mean, your focus might have actually got us there because I thought I was going to die. Like, hand to God, thought I was going to die on the way
up there. Like, I'm sitting there in the lobby just like using my brain power to get you guys there alive.
Use the force, Luke.
But I didn't guide the missile down the chute. I just shot it out.
Yeah, because that's crap. That theory does not work.
It does work.
Doesn't work.
Whatever.
Doesn't work.
All right, let's do another question.
All right, this is the last one because we've done a long
thing. Did Luke use the force to send... Yes, he did.
No, right. He didn't.
All right, and number 5 through 129...
Me?
Yeah.
67.
67. And then 1 through 4, Logan?
2.
If you could, here we go. If you could eliminate one thing you do each day in the bathroom so that you never had to do it again, what would it be?
I'll have to think about that for a second.
Logan.
All right. I generally enjoy taking a shower.
Mm-hmm. Do my best thinking in the shower.
It can't be something as easy as like not having to fix my hair, because like that's easily solved. I'm a guy. Nobody would be like, oh, well, you know, he shaved his head.
Agreed.
Nobody.
I don't have any hair. So.
You know, nobody would. I mean, I'd probably get flack for it. Like, what'd you do that for? You're not bald. But it wouldn't be like a big deal. I could resolve that myself without wishing on a magic lamp. I really don't know, man.
I'm saying, okay.
I think I...
Brush my teeth.
Shit, you stole mine.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Only because I constantly forget to do it.
Oh, that's gross. My logic is...
I go back and do it. I just forget, and then, damn it, yeah, I forgot to brush my teeth.
Go back 2 days later. So my logic is that if we don't have to brush our teeth based on this game, then that means that our teeth are totally fine. So I like the idea of both not having to brush my teeth and my teeth being fine anyway. So that's why I'm going with brush my teeth.
Well, since both of y'all took that, I'm going to go with, I have this thing about when I do poop, I have to clean the toilet. No matter if I just cleaned it the day before and nobody else has been in there, and I only went in it right before I cleaned it, I would still have to clean it before I pooped.
I'm trying. So I'm laughing so hard. I'm trying
to
hold
it together. Imagine being like at work, you know, like, and you know, I mean, I can't go at Walmart or anything because I'd have to be like, look, can I get some spray off the shelf so I can clean the toilet before I actually use it? Like, I don't care if you put, you know, whatever over the toilet. I'm still going to have to clean it before I use it.
See, I love this is that, about, but... I know, I love this is about number two, but it's the most clean about number two conversation we can have. It's fantastic. I respect this so much.
It annoys me that I have to do that because I have to.
I understand that, but I also have this like weird rationalization in my brain of like, if I'm going to get paid to be at work, like the best possible outcome of that is going to the bathroom and getting paid to do it. So,
you know. Like everybody, if I worked at your job, everybody would make fun of me. They'd be like, Ryan, the dude with the bathroom cleaner sitting on his desk over there.
The people in my, they clean that bathroom like every 45 minutes. So
that's nice. They do it like every 4 hours at my work.
Yeah.
So, there's too many people on my floor for that.
And there's a couple.
They would play bad jokes on me, like hide all the cleaners because Ryan's gonna have to go to the bathroom and let's watch him go crazy trying to find something to clean the bathroom.
Be like Michael J. Fox in Scrubs, where he's like, look, I hate to do this, but I have to leave and come back because I have to go use the bathroom and I can't do that here. So, yeah, brush my teeth would be my answer. So
that would be my actual answer too, because if it's eliminate one, I mean, there's nothing wrong with brushing your teeth or cleaning the toilet, but like you said, it's like one of those things where you're like, shit, I forgot to brush my teeth.
Mm. Oh, could it just be cleaning the bathroom? Like it would just be miraculously clean forever?
That would cover all the sins. Yeah, I mean.
Sure. And if I'm in the bathroom, I'm clean too. I mean, I don't have to wash me, brush my teeth, clean the toilet.
You just walk into the bathroom. Everything's gone.
You do every day, though. So do you clean your whole bathroom every day?
No.
There's your caveat. You don't win on that. So Ryan gets his very specific answer, but the general answer doesn't win out.
So generally, it's just brush your teeth. So.
I mean, there's very strict rules to this book of made-up questions.
That's very much like TAG. They have like a journal of rules and amendments to the rules.
So, well, this is fun. This has also been like 90 minutes.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it lasted that long.
I mean, it really flew by. I think this was a ton of fun.
Dang, it is.
It's like 9:30.
Ryan, you'll have to come back sometime.
Sure.
But you have to give us a few weeks to talk bad about you, then you can come back.
Right after y'all watch Misfits and Monsters.
We didn't even talk about the end of Mr. Robot.
Because it's sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
But at the same time, it's going to have the ending they want, and that matters.
Yeah.
Matters the most.
We're staring down the end of Mr. Robot next year. More than likely, the end of Legion and the end of Preacher. Three of the only three shows we'd love to talk about. So, yeah. It's going to be 2019 is going to be a rough year. It's going to be really rough if they all happen at the same time.
You should do True Detective season 3 with Mahershala Ali and get those ratings way extra up, and then people would be like, "Oh, they also do Mr. Robot, cool."
Yeah, we're mulling over things to talk about, but we're definitely doing the Mr. Robot rewatch. And I tagged you and didn't get a I'm in response. So,
I mean, I thought I already told you I was in. That's why I didn't say anything.
Maybe you did.
I mean, I may not have. I may have just thought, oh, I'm in, and just assumed you read my mind. But I thought I told you. Oh no, I'm in totally.
This is deja vu. I've had this conversation before.
A lot of stuff with a lot of people in the past week from the two of you. So I thought I responded to everything I needed.
That's fine. You probably told me. I just forgot because, like, I had cancer and had to do chemo. So,
just shut up. I no sympathy. You're alive because of me. I don't care.
I've repaid you.
No, don't do that. That cheapens everything.
That was the point.
You gave me nice gifts, but you no. Mm-mm. I'm not holding it over your head, but you can't repay me for life. Nope.
I don't know. Done. Gambit.
Well, buy me more things then. We'll find out.
I feel like every time I see you, I'm like, hey, I have this. Here, do you want it?
It's actually true. It's like ongoing rent for your life in the form of comic books.
But it's never anything really expensive. Like, I've literally, I think, only bought, like, expensive-wise, like, Gambit. I paid for the first appearance of Gambit. I was like, I got this for you. And, like, that's
also
it.
I got it for Ryan, so I'm not special. I don't feel special.
Because y'all share this ungodly love of this idiotic character.
He's not idiotic.
He's pretty
amazing.
Bad.
He's the raging Cajun, and he got Rogue. He married
Whoa,
Rogue.
You just, like twinned me, because I was about to say the exact same thing.
I'd like to see you marry Rogue, Logan. No, I wouldn't. I'd be jealous.
I would not want to marry Rogue. She's annoying.
What?
I don't like Gambit Rogue. Yeah, no. Oh. Not a Rogue guy. Although, are you still reading Extermination?
I haven't read issue 2 yet. I've got it, but I haven't read it.
So, this is not really spoilery at all, but there's this moment.
It's like the BoJack.
No, it's not. It's not. There's this moment.
I saved your life. You ruined BoJack. It's over.
There's this moment in the issue where, so, in issue 1, Cable died, and Cable killed Cable. We already talked about that. It's stupid. But there's this moment where one of the characters, they're splitting up into groups, and one of the characters just points at this group and goes, no, I want to go with them. And it's literally all the characters from X-Force, because it's just like, the rest of you suck and won't do what it takes, but these dudes over here, they will murder somebody if they have to. And I'm like, yes. That's awesome. So... it's pretty good. So you've been reading Black Panther, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that I can see what you're reading.
Well, it's funny because I've got the full 4 volumes of Christopher Priest's good lord run on Black Panther, and I left it at home, so I just started picking up where I was in the actual book on the app, which is fun.
Yeah, the app's pretty cool. So, I haven't given up on my X-Men stuff, but I have fallen in love with the Old Man Logan book and the all-new Wolverine book, and so they have taken over my reading. Jeff Lemire's Old Man Logan may be one of the best things in the last 10 years. It's so good.
Jeff Lemire's Gideon Falls is amazing.
Yeah, I need to read that too. I wish Marvel published everything. That way I could just read it all in this app. And not have to...
pay. Yeah, and give Ike Perlmutter all your money.
I mean...
problematic.
Yeah, it is problematic. So, it's okay. If I burn my Nikes, does that solve the problem or make it worse?
Shut the hell up. Donate your Nikes to charity if you feel that strongly about it.
No, I'm going to keep mine. Actually, I have to go buy new shoes this week, because mine squeak when I walk, so obviously I need new shoes. So I'm going to go buy Nikes. So, F them.
Stand up for something.
I love that my boss man, my ex-boss man, was a huge, you know, screw the NFL, no, you know, about the whole Kaepernick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he owned Nike everything. So I just kind of wonder how much money he just donated to charity. Because he wouldn't burn it or cut it, or he would donate it to charity. Mm-hmm. But that's still a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's an idiot. So
I'm just going to vote in November. That's what I'm going to do.
Right on. I'm not going to vote, but right on.
Vote. I'm trying to figure out, I'm putting the pieces together to get Ezra a shirt that says, please vote for me. But it's like, you know, because I'm a child and can't vote. So please vote for me.
Can I write his name pictures. In?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Vote. He's saying, place a vote for him.
No, hey. I get the double meaning. I'm just saying, can I write his name in?
If you'll vote, yes. I just need you to vote.
Can I vote like Luke did the torpedo down the shaft? Like,
that doesn't work, horse? But as long as you vote, I'll support it.
I'm going to use
I'll
the
change
horse.
My stance on that theory if you'll vote.
No, I'm not. Ever.
If I can just change one person's mind, it's worth the vote.
Oh my God, you're killing me. Somebody end the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Go vote and have a better tomorrow.
And Mr. Robot's over. It's done. Go home.
Why are you still here?
Why are you still here?
Oh, good God.
Bueller. That's Ferris Bueller.
We all got it, Logan. You like Chris Farley in that SNL skit. Do you remember that time when you did that thing?
Okay, before you end it for real, I got to tell you, there was a post on Facebook I saw that said...
That was the end.
No, I got to tell y'all this. It's hilarious. It said, if he or she doesn't know what this is, they're too young for you. And it was the Stones from The Fifth Element. And my sister comments on it, well, then I must be on the young side because I have no idea what those are. And I commented back like, or you're on the I'm too old to remember what this is side. It's the Stones from The Fifth Element.
She's never seen The Fifth Element.
Yes, she has.
And The Fifth Element was love. Go vote. Have a better tomorrow. Logan in the podcast right now.
Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.